Look at a verse of scripture at Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 26. Turn there and I'll pray. For Father, thank you. Great and wonderful things you're doing, you have done, you're yet to do. And we're just insatiably hungry for whatever it is you've done, you're doing. And we just want to know what you're going to do. We want to be a part of it. Lord, please don't throw a party and not invite us. Please don't have extravaganza and not send us out an invitation. Because we want to be a part of everything that you're doing. We're just like that. We're hungry to be a part of your presence, to be a part of the move of God. And Lord, I'm asking, I'm pleading tonight, I'm interceding that you would widen the favor here tonight and the following days, that we could walk into a new dimension of what you're doing. And that you would not leave us behind, and that we would not be left pondering what could have been. But we will be active and engaged in that what is and what is to come. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. I don't know exactly where we're going to land tonight, but I want to start. I really do feel like this is a night for the Holy Spirit to just be sovereign and creative, as, of course, is his character and nature. So I don't want to box him in, but at the same time, I have some things that I want to share with you. A tuning fork resonates perfect pitch, but you got to hit it first. And there's perfect pitch tonight. I feel that. I feel like there's going to be a resonating of a perfect pitch, or at least a pitch from heaven. But sometimes you just got to hit it first. So I don't know what to hit, but I'll start with you. And you just got to hit it first. You got to let it hit you or whatever. At any rate, I just want to start here. Honestly, I feel disoriented. So as you see, I couldn't find the steps. But I'm not sure if that's the Holy Spirit or the 10-10 all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet we had today. I don't know, but I may be having an MSG challenge. I'm not sure. That would be, anyway, Morningstar something. But anyway, MSG. So let me tell you where I'm going. Let me talk to you about where I'm going tonight. First, I want to tell you that I think that we have been in the eye of the storm, but we're about to catch the backdraft and the backside of an incredible, unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And last night or yesterday when I was asked me, do you have anything? I said, no, you know. And last night as I was going to sleep, I heard something that I've heard before, and I heard it in this place. I heard it on the property or here on the grounds. Last week, I heard it at Moravian Falls, where I live. And what I heard was the pounding sound of torrential rain hitting the ground and hitting the building here. As I was sitting here tonight, I could hear the pavement out here being beaten with the sound of rain. When I was in the cabin last week, Moravian Falls, I got up because I heard the sound of thunder rolling in, and I felt that sense of a storm coming, and I got up at 4 in the morning, looked out the window, and nothing was there. I mean, it was calm. There was no storm. So I'm prophetic enough to know if you hear something like that that's not really happening 4 or 5 times, like Samuel, you know, God could be talking to you. I'm not sure, but, you know, it's a possibility that God could be saying something to you. So let me start by saying this. Let me start by something that happened to me in 1987. 1987 was one of the 3 times in my life that the Lord visited me in a physical appearance, a form, when I wasn't asleep. It wasn't a vision. I was just awake, and he preached to me. Now, I don't know if you ever had the Lord show up and preach to you. And by the way, just for some of you, he sounded slightly Pentecostal. Anyway, that was just my perception of that. And the year was 1987. I just moved to California from Arkansas, and the Lord had really been instructing me about some great things coming, and I was pondering that. 11 o'clock at night, I'm sleeping in a friend's house in the bedroom, and I awaken out of a sleep, full awake, to the sound of rain. Not only the sound of this deluge of water, but I could smell rain. Being a southern boy, as some of you or a lot of you are, you know what I mean by smelling rain? I said smell rain in California, and they looked at me like I was a germ. Because first of all, they didn't understand, would you define rain? You know, so anyway, I smelled. You know what I mean by smelling rain? I could smell a flood. I could smell rain. I could hear rain. I could smell rain. I jumped up, run to the window, thinking it was raining outside in northern L.A., and it wasn't raining. I lay back down again, drifted off to sleep. Same thing happened to me again. And then the third time, I remembered what Samuel said to Eli, said to Samuel, go lay down and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So I lay the third time this happened, I said, Lord, speak, I'm listening. And at that minute, the Lord stood at the foot of my bed. And at the foot of my bed, he began talking to me out of Luke chapter 17 here in verse 26. And he said, this was the first things he said to me. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it will be with my return and the coming of the Son of Man. And for probably 10 minutes, the Lord preached to me, parabolically, by the way, out of the flood of Noah and out of this Luke passage here. And this is what he said to me. He said, your generation is poised for one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit in recorded history. On your generation, the ends of the earth are going to come. And as it was in Noah's day, it's going to be duplicated in your day. But as Noah had a physical flood, there is a spiritual flood of revival that is coming on the church. And as Noah's flood was so incredibly global, there is a global revival and a global outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to inundate your generation. And he said to me, it's going to begin in 7 years. This was 1987. It's going to begin in 7 years, and people are going to think it is the last outpouring. But I'm here to tell you, it's the beginning, it's the precursor to a flood like you have no context for at all. And he began to talk to me about how that we would go through in 1994, we'll begin the first drizzle, and we would go through in the end of the 90s, a eye of the storm, and then the year 2000, the eye of the storm. And after we go through the eye of the storm, the backside, the backdraft of that spiritual hurricane is going to hit us with velocity like you have never experienced before. And when the Lord finished, this is a scripture he left with me. For the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a conference where Jesus was scheduled to speak or unscheduled to speak, but man, that was incredible for me. So here's what the Lord said to him. He said, in your generation, you're one of the Noahs I have called. People will mock or scoff, or they will be disbelieving. And there will be times when you don't want to re-say what I have said to you. And this is exactly what he said. Sometimes you will re-say it with absolute conviction and anointing. Other times you won't feel any anointing, any conviction. And the people will seem to say, I've heard that. We've heard that's coming. We know that. But I want you to be faithful like Noah. And if you will proclaim what I have told you, and if you will prophesy it, you will hurry the visitation onto the body of Christ and into the world globally. So what happened? So I began to preach this. So I waited 7 years for Luke 17 to happen. And in 1993, the end of 1993, beginning of 1993, I began to prophesy that God was sending a deluge of water, a spiritual outpouring. And I was prophesying on an L.A. radio station in 93. To the L.A. audience, and I said, and a sign will be, this year will be one of the wettest years we've ever seen. There will be floods in the Midwest, mudslides in California, floods in Europe. I began to prophesy this on a 6 o'clock radio station in L.A. Now, when I fully awakened and had a cup of coffee about 9 o'clock, I realized what a stupid thing that I had just done. I thought, what if we have a drought here? I mean, what if, oh my God, my integrity is on the line. Well, within 40 days, we had the major mudslides of 93 in Southern California. It rained so hard in the Midwest that the Mississippi backed up, which was, by the way, a prophecy by Bobby Gale. When the Mississippi goes back, would you know it's a time of visitation? There were torrential rains in Europe, loss of life, of course, and loss of property. But anyway, so I was gunned. You know, I was like, oh, man. So September comes, October, I'm thinking, boy, I can't wait to see this. So I take this engagement to go to Toronto to speak at some churches. And I'm in Toronto at the end of 1993, and I'm prophesying, but I'm looking for revival. How many knows that things don't come in the package that you preconceive they come in when it comes to God, because His ways are not our ways. And if you figure it out, He'll change it on you. Because He don't like you sharing that creative glory with Him. So I'm in Toronto, and I just happened to be asked to speak at John Arnott's church in December the 15th, in Toronto. Well, anyway, it's what I call accidental prophetic. A friend of mine says, I don't obey good, but I stumble real good sometimes. Have you ever been in the right place at the right time with the wrong understanding and perception of what you're doing? It just happens. You go, oh, my God, I stumble right into that. Well, I stumble into that. Long story short, I did not realize what was happening. People were laughing. The Holy Spirit fell in one of my meetings. And I was so irritated with that because I was trying to preach the Word of God that I was left there mad, thinking these people have gone mad. Because, they were like, laughing and snickering, and nobody could define it. I mean, John Arnott couldn't define it. We didn't know, just something was happening. Well, it wasn't me that stirred it. I just had the prophetic word, but I was thinking, God wouldn't do this. God wouldn't start this thing out in Canada, eh? I mean, it would be in America, huh? 2 weeks behind me, or a week behind me, Randy Clark comes. He doesn't have the prophecies. I had the prophecy. I didn't have the perception. As Rick says, most prophetic people can't interpret what they get. I didn't have. And I'm in Toronto thinking, wonder when this thing's going to come. Randy Clark comes. He has context for it because he's in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting. He comes. He preaches. It happens. It goes wah bang. They identify it, recognize it. Then they call me. John Arnott calls me in January of 2004 and says, oh, my God, you would not believe what happened since you left here, which is not really what I wanted to hear. I preferred you would not believe what happened while you were here. But it was since you left, since we got you out of the way and moved you on, God poured His Spirit out. And he says, you got to come back and help foster this thing. So I went back and spent some time there. It was an incredible outpouring. But I kept remembering what God said to me. God said to me that don't be deluded. Don't think that what you see all as great as it's going to be is the ultimate. It is the precursor. It's the little drizzle. It's the few raindrops before the deluge hits the whole earth globally. So I don't know about you, but I think we've been in this kind of the eye of the storm, I mean, I think things are still happening, but there's been this eye of the storm, at least has for me. And I've been saying, Lord, release me to proclaim this. Because here's what a friend of mine named Carrie Browning, she told me just last week. She said, it's happening in her church, in her movement. Gold is appearing on people, diamonds on the floor. She said people have instant weight loss when the glory comes. Now, that's the kind of anointing I'm talking about right there. Hair drawn on people's head. I mean, that kind of stuff. And she said to me, I love you prophets, and I love the way you always speak about things that are coming. You prophets need to start proclaiming what's already here. And not just, because that's what we do. That's what we do for a living, is we you pay me to go, there's something coming. And you go, what is it? I go, I don't know, but you need to prepare for it. Well, how do I prepare? I don't know, but there's something coming. And so that's what I do for a living. There's something. Instant weight loss and hair at the same time. Can you imagine that? So the glory, more. That's a double anointing right there. And she's right. Prophets have the propensity to prophesy what's coming and not realize it's here. And they'll keep putting it out in the future. It's coming, it's here. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm staking my prophetic reputation. It's not coming anymore. We've stepped into it. The dimension is here. It's here. So what I feel the Lord has shown me to do tonight is, I'm not going to tell you what's coming, although we're going to talk about some things, but I won't tell you what's already here. Because once you hear it, once Elijah heard the sound of the abundance of the rain in the spirit, once he heard it in the spirit realm, he was able to pull it down into the natural realm. And within one day, what he heard in the spirit manifested in the natural. And he said to Ahab, get down the mountain, because my soul has heard the sound of an abundance of rain. You better get down the mountain. And by the way, after saying that to Ahab, Elijah outran him down the mountain. I mean, he outran him. I know the world's hungry and looking for things like Ahab, but we're going to outrun the world. We're going to outrun the Ahabs of the world because of the anointing that's coming to the church. Well, I'm ahead of myself. So anyway, I heard that. I don't know if you can. I can hear, as I'm talking now, I can hear raining fall in this place. I can hear rain outside. I can hear rain on this east coast. I hear rain on the west coast. So three or four times in the last 15 years or so, the Lord's had me preach this at critical intersections in the body of Christ. And I preached it when I first went to Redding. My first sermon I preached at Redding, California, at Bill Johnson's Bethel, on Sunday morning. It rained so hard they could hardly hear me preach about raining. And now they're still in full-blown revival. It happened in Norway. I was preaching in Norway. Preached, you know, the same thing. Some of the rains came. You know, anyway, I'm just saying that sometimes we have to call things that are already here up front and define them and say, hey, this is not just coming. This is what's here. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you for a minute about, let me read the scripture. I should read the scripture. Well, you know that. Jesus said to them, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, when you hear that, most preachers preach that, they mean devastation, sin. But I'm telling you, rain. I'm telling you, the rains are going to come so profound, so prolifically, that the ark of God is going to be lifted up above the earth. And you and I are going to ride on the holy crest of one of the greatest revivals this world has ever seen. And it's going to inundate the whole earth. Well, anyway. So here's what I want to do. I want to walk you through a few things. What can we do to accommodate this, to pull it into our reality? What can we do here? And I want to give you a few points, and I want to prophesy that here tonight. There's a spirit of prophecy in this place to call things that are as though they are. I can hear it so loud now. It's in my ears. It's nearly deaf. I can hear the rain falling. And man, we're going somewhere. We're calling some things in tonight. So here's what I want to do. I want a few things. Oh, you know what? I'm going to forego looking at Genesis 6 and 7 and turn there and go through the scriptures. You know the story of Noah's flood. Trust me to just relate to Genesis 6 and 7 some of the things. Number one, according to Genesis 6, 1 through 13, before the flood comes, we must recognize our limitations and our shortcomings. It was said in Genesis 6, 1 that the sons of man, were wicked, and there was this great wickedness and mixture that was in the earth. God looks and he decides to judge the earth, and he decides to invade the earth with this great flood. But the key scripture there is that, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Now, the scripture doesn't say that Noah recognized his shortcomings and didn't say that he interceded for his generation. But I believe it stands to reason that Noah probably interceded and prayed and repented for his generation. So just in a very quick moment, I want to talk to you about recognizing our shortcomings as the precursor for God doing what God does. Repentance is always proceeds or goes before God doing something incredible. A proper diagnosis must precede a proper cure. You can't have a proper cure until you diagnose the problem. So in the world today, there are prophets and preachers who are accurately diagnosing the problem, but don't understand that after you diagnose the problem, then you have to prescribe the prescription or the cure for that. You know, if you went to a doctor and he goes, you know what, you're right. You got lymphomia or whatever. You go, great. He goes, that'll be $100. Come back in 3 weeks. You come back in, he goes, great. You still got lymphomia. That'll be $200. Great. Come back another month. Come back another month. He says, you know what? The x-ray says you still got super lymphomia. That'll be $500. Sounds like church. I mean, that's where we've been. We keep going and paying in the past for someone to tell us what we already know and our problem is. So what I want to do is I'm going to treat you aware of your problem. You know if you have shortcomings. You know if you're reluctant. You know if you don't have faith. You know if you have mixture. You know where you're walking. But what I want to say to you is that to accommodate this next move of God, there has to be a repentance. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to repent. But here's what I don't want you to do. I want to draw a line here tonight. I don't want you to make a theology out of repentance. Now, I have to explain what I mean by that before I do that. I grew up in a particular denomination who were artful at repenting but not really ever making a change. Do you know the word repentance means to make a change? Noah probably made the changes, but his world didn't make the change in Genesis chapter 6. It means to make an about face, to repent. You know, behold, I come quickly. Repent is the words of book of Revelation. So it means to make about face, make a change. Well, I grew up in a particular denomination where we thought repentance was not about changing directions, but it was about how much mucus came out of our nose and how much tears came out of our eyes and how much we screamed and hollered and how many trips that we made to the altar. Well, I'm a 30-tripper myself. I've blown out enough mucus to repent for the whole world, I'm telling you. So we repented every Sunday about the sins we had done, but we remained unchanged. So it wasn't biblical repentance, it was an emotional repentance. Because we define repentance as tears on the floor, as mucus, as hollering, and you got to holler real like, "Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, I'm sorry." And say, "You're going to tell tomorrow, I'm going to do it again. Oh, I'm sorry, God, but I'm not going to change. I just want to come back next Sunday and say I'm sorry again to get me through another 7 days to do what I shouldn't do, because I know I'm going to do it, get repentance for something I shouldn't get repented for, so I can come back and do it again." You keep doing it over and over and over and over. You never change, but you keep repenting. We made a theology out of repentance. Every service was, "Somebody here needs to repent." And we knew who that was. Us. What to repent of? Well, we went through long hair, went through jewelry, went through TV, went through cards, went through, you know, movies. We went through lying, cheating, stealing, running. We ran out of stuff to repent for. But a good Pentecostal will always create new ways to repent. Anyway, we won't go there. What I'm trying to say to you is that if you feel like you need to reposition yourself for the move of God, if you need to get in line, if there needs to be a change of heart and repentance, don't make a long, drawn-out process about it. Don't get into a theology of repentance where it's gloom, despair, misery on me week after week after week, emotionally trying to respond to something that you're doing to change something. Listen, just decide in your mind. You don't have to cry a tear. You don't have to get on the floor and roll around. You don't have to lose any liquids out of your nose or your eyes. You can just make a decision and say, "You know what? I'm going to get ready for the next move of God. I'm changing the way I think. I'm changing the way I feel. I'm changing the way things are in my life. And I am sanctifying myself tonight. I'm drawing a line of demarcation in the Spirit. And I'm not going back there again. There's a new me and I'm coming out. I'm coming out tonight. New and fresh." So here's what I want to do. To receive a divine infusion of revival, there has to be a divine change in the way we approach revival. Or at least I believe that. So here's what I want to do. I want to lead you through that. I want to prophesy that tonight. I want to prophesy the end of fake repentance or religious repentance and the beginning of a true change in our life to accommodate this outpouring of the Spirit of God. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to just repent once and get it over with? That's why I always respected the Baptists. They repent once. They get saved once. They do it. Yeah, everything is once. You know, Pentecostals, we're loopy. We go through loop after loop. There it is. We're always trying to get back to the future. Wouldn't you like to just get it over once and for all? Wouldn't you like to walk away from here tonight and say, "I'm poised for revival. I'm positioned for revival because my heart's right. My heart's changed. It didn't take a week. You didn't have to go to a class. You didn't have to pay money to go get counseling. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But you just made the decision. You became a man or a woman and said, 'You know what? I'm changing tonight.'" Well, I want to help you with that. You want to do that? Now, I don't think there's probably any sin in your life, but just in case. So here we go. Father, I prophesy change tonight. I prophesy a Noah favor here tonight, because you said Noah had favor with God. It was the precursor. It was a precedent for a outpouring of the Spirit. There had to be favor before revival came. And I prophesy the favor that Noah had. I prophesy in this room, we prophesy that sins, works of the flesh, works of the Spirit, evil spirits, bad behaviors, bad decisions, falling short, All the stuff that we do, we prophesy an end to that, a demise to that, and I say no to it tonight. We draw a line of demarcation, and we say we will not walk that way anymore, but we're going to walk as a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we're going to lift up our hands that hang down and make straight paths for our feet, and we're going to begin to heal those that are in the way. We're going to begin to lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing near us. We're going to begin to make the transition from the old me to the new me. We're going to change, and we're going to facilitate the next move of God with a pure heart. Lord, I declare that in His place tonight, and I declare the end of sin. No, that's terrible. I can't do that. I declare the end of consciousness of sin in your life, the guilt of sin. We declare true repentance, not just emotional repentance, and we declare a turning. And I prophesy in this place tonight, turn, 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 turn. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Turn, 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 because you have found favor with God, and God wants to pour an unprecedented amount of Spirit out upon your life. Woo! Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The second thing we have to do to accommodate the presence of God is believe God for an abundance. It was said in Genesis 7:11 that it had never rained before. No, excuse me, didn't say that. It said in Genesis 7:11, God says, I'm going to bring a flood on this earth. I'm going to shake the fountains of the deep and open the windows of heaven and bring a flood on this earth. Now, here's what you may not know about abundance. It had never rained on the earth before. I don't know if you ever made this connection in the book of Genesis. In Genesis 2:5 and 6 says that a vapor went up from the ground at night, or dew, condensation went up from the ground, and it settled in the morning. And I can't get into the theology and the science of that, mainly because I don't know it. But I've heard from the best of theologians and historians and people that deal with the Bible, obviously it had never rained before. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when Noah heard God say, get ready, it's going to rain, he goes, say what? He had no grid for it. He had no theological context. He had no physical context. He had no church context. He had no context. God had just said something to him that he didn't understand. Here's what I want to present to you tonight. What I'm saying to you, you have no context for. You think you've seen revival. All you've had is a little condensation coming up from the earth. All it's been is a little dew coming in and settling as dew in the morning. I'm talking about the floodgates of heaven being shaken and the fountains of the deep being shaken. And when they meet together, I'm talking about an unprecedented deluge of anointing that's going to hit the planet earth with high impact. It's going to shake the earth on its axis, the poor, the rich, the all colors and cultures. And it's going to hit us on a global scale, and we're going to walk in something that a generation has never experienced before. You have to believe that. You have to believe for an abundance. Here's what Hebrews 11:7 says about it. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Now, wait a minute. He didn't know what rain was. Besides, build an ark. There had never been an ark. This guy is incredible. He would have been president of Rhema College if he lived today. This is a quintessential faith man. This man had it down. Noah's going to rain. What's that? Well, it's like big drops and they're wet. What's wet? They fall out of the sky. Oh, are they going to hurt me? It had never happened before. Well, when it starts falling, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark? Kind of like a church, but it's got animals in it. Well, that is like a church. What do I do? How do I preach? Do I hold a revival? No, just stand in the door and count the animals when they walk by. What are you talking about? This ain't about you, Noah. This is about Holy Ghost evangelism. Just stand in the door because I'm going to drive them in the church. He goes, church, what are you talking about? What's an ark? God, then I'll get to that. And he said, well, you build it like this. I mean, this guy, he said, by the way, when you preach it, they're going to scoff and make, can you imagine what's coming? There's something coming. What is it? Big wet drops. I don't know. But God told me something was going to fall out of the sky. You idiot. You've been drinking that juice, haven't you? Not only that, he told me to build a barge, a party, a big boat. What's a boat? It's a wooden thing that floats on top of big drops of water. And you wonder why the guy was ridiculed. Can you imagine? Miss Noah going, oh, baby, don't go out and say, don't go preach that. My God. Just give us a break here. Don't go out and do that big drop thing. Don't go out and do that. Oh, get on now. All aboard. Ooh, don't do that. But he was a man of faith. He believed for an abundance. It was by faith that he built the ark. It was by faith. Now, let me tell you what I believe about that. I believe that any generation has the opportunity to, through faith, to activate revival at any time. We're waiting for revival. No, no, no. Revival already happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, it is finished. Now, behold, I give you, I transfer to you the power of the kingdom and the keys of the kingdom. We can duplicate revival through faith at any point in history. And when we do that, there's a convergence that happens in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit witnesses to that. I really believe we can pull it down. You know what we need, guys? Flood faith. Flood faith. Well, I want revival, but I want it on Sunday. What about Monday? No, can't do that on Monday. Got a fishing trip on Monday. Don't want no rain. I'm having fun. Anyway, here's a good example. This will tell you, this is how it is. I was in East L.A. at this church, and the pastor says to me, my first Sunday morning, he goes, Brother Larry, I had a Bruce spoken, saw somebody, he goes, Brother Larry, we want God in this church. We're so hungry. I sound like Joel Osteen, though. Anyway, Brother Larry, we want God in this church. We're so hungry. He said, we're so hungry. We just want you to turn the Holy Ghost loose this morning. And we want prophecy and miracles and slay people in the Spirit, Brother Larry. Just call the Holy Ghost down. Just have a time in the Lord. Preach your heart out. Oh, and by the way, we got to be out of here at 11:45 because we got dinner reservations at the All You Need Buffet. I go, wait a minute. You want revival? You want prophecy? You want the dead raised? But we got to do it by 11:45. Oh, no problem. No problem. I can do that. But like Elijah that I mentioned early, guys, ladies, we need flood faith. We need a faith that can hear the unheard and see the unseen. We need a faith that can say to the world, say to the Ahabs of the world, you better get up, that I just heard something. And say to the church, you better get ready, because I just heard something. I heard rain coming. And so sends a servant, that servant goes, well, you missed that one. Remember that story in 1 Kings? It says, go out and look. And the servant comes back and goes, I knew you were slipping in that prophetic thing. You know, it's like, there's no rain here. He goes, go back and look again. He goes, well, I see a little cloud. He goes, that's enough for me. I heard it. I saw a little token. Get ready. It's going to rain. The scripture says it rained so incredibly hard. It was driving rain. We need flood faith. We need rain faith. I know we have new car faith. We got more money faith, new house faith. We got a new Bible faith. We got new shoe faith. We got all kinds of faith, and that's good. We need all that kind of faith. But more than that, we need revival faith. We need the faith of our forefathers that would stand in the face of opposition and believe that God would send an unprecedented outpouring of His Spirit on their generation. We need a faith that will believe to pull God into our generation and to open our hearts in the floodgates of heaven and let God shake the fountains of this deep until there is a convergence of heaven and earth, until something begins to stir in us and we're impacted as Noah was impacted with a global outpouring of His Spirit. Guys, we've been in the eye of the storm, but I can smell it. I can hear the news reporter of heaven saying, it's in the eye of the storm. It's about over. It's coming. We're catching the backside of this thing, and it's going to be greater because He saved the best for last. It's going to happen in this place. Yes, go ahead. Lord, we believe it. We believe for abundance. There is the sound of it. There is a super anointing coming. There is a spiritual anointing, a super anointing that's coming to the church packaged and an outpouring of His Spirit and a rain that's incredible. Matter of fact, I'm not going to prophesy, but it wouldn't surprise me this year if this wasn't a very rainy, hurricane, wet year this year. It's going to be a major. I wouldn't say that, but if I was prophesying, I would probably do that, but I'm not. Number three. Well, let me prophesy that. Father, I speak and I prophesy to the wellsprings in people's heart. You said you would open the floodgates, the windows of heaven. The Spanish gate, Bible says the floodgates of heaven. One translation. Fountains of the deep are in our spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So I prophesy to the wells that you would shake the wells. We ask you, God, to shake the fountains of the deep in us, and that you would open the spirit realm, open our spirits, and that you would begin to send a rain. We prophesy faith. I prophesy an abundance of faith. I prophesy the faith of Hebrews 11, that against all odds and against hopelessness, we're able to proclaim what God has in mind and to pull our destiny into our now. And I prophesy that tonight. I prophesy no more do you need to look forward. No more do you say it's coming, but you need to begin to declare it is here. We need to begin to walk in faith and declare, it's here. Say it with me. It's here. 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 I have heard it. If I've heard it, it's going to happen. If I've heard it in my spirit, it's going to happen. If I feel it, I know it's going to happen, because reality follows the nuances of prophecy and ever how they manifest reality. It's a precursor to reality and to it happening in the world, because the spiritual world is a shadow of that which was coming in the natural. So, Lord, we prophesy. We've heard it. How many are hearing it tonight? Can you hear it? Look at this. How many are hearing it? You can hear it. Lord, we prophesy. I prophesy to these Noah. I prophesy to these men and women of faith. We prophesy abundance. Number three. The third ingredient, or the third thing we can do to accommodate the next move of God, is to make proper preparations. That's sort of a blend of the last point, but it's got a few standalone points I'd like to make here. Just park here for a minute. Make proper preparation. The question is not whether it's going to rain. The question is, how much can you facilitate? How much of your life have you prepared to capture what is coming? Let me put it to you this way. Revival in your life will be in direct proportion to the measure of preparation that you approach it with. Well, I want the anointing. Well, the anointing is in direct proportion to the depth of preparation in your life. If you have 2 inches of preparation, you're getting 2 inches of anointing, unless God's favor just comes on you. We got to get rid of fill my cup, Lord, mentality. You know that song? 2 inches. Fill my little bitty cup, Lord. I lift my little teacup up, Lord. Come in, perhaps, maybe, I don't know, it might hurt, but fill this little thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me, but don't choke me. Until I want no more, until I change my mind. Fill my little bitty cup, Lord, don't run it over. No. We need to go, fill my barrel, Lord. I can't even lift it up. It's so big, Lord. Come and fill this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lord, and make me whole. Then there's an old song I used to love. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the promise of the Father. Remember that song? Too low, saying, whosoever will, let him drink of this water. I promise to pull my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your head to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the promise of the Father. Those who, whatever, want it, lift their barrel up, are going to get more than you can stand. You will do miracles, raise the dead, spend all night in church, wreck your life, says the Father. Lift your head to the sky if you're thirsty and dry. You're about to get whacked. Yeah? Well, how do you make the preparation? What do you do? Well, I don't want to go into it because that's a whole other deal, but God made specific things to Noah in Genesis 6:14. And he said, build an ark. What does the ark represent? Christ. Well, we can't build Christ, but in a sense we can build the body of Christ, that is Christ's body, so we kind of can build. We make preparation. What for? The animals. I'll get that in a minute because they're coming. Whether you like it or not, they're coming. And ain't nothing you can do about it. They're coming. Animals are coming. Just get your teeth back under your lip. That territorial growl. They're coming. Make proper preparations. Let me put it to you this. Whatever it is you need to do, just do it. I don't know if I heard this from someone or the Lord or I don't know. I get it mixed up. But something is stuck in me. One of the greatest sins in the church today is reluctance. I think maybe Rick Joyner said it. He got it from Bob. Bob got it from Emma. I'm not sure. Emma the angel. I don't know. Everything always goes back to Emma when you trace the family tree of the word. But look at. You mean God doesn't like reluctance? Yeah, reluctance is a really bad deal. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of respect. It's a lack of... It's the spirit that was on Esau who sold out his birthright. He's just reluctant to walk in his anointing. You know, Jacob wasn't reluctant. He was overachiever. And I think God said, Jacob have I loved. So one of the ways you can prepare is, look, just stop being reluctant. You know, the Lord told me a month ago, He said to me, Larry, you're reluctant. You're late coming out of the womb. You're a late bloomer. You've always been. My wife says, I told my wife, I think I'm five years behind on fashion. She goes, 10. Just remember who you're submitted to, woman. You know what I'm talking about? You notice I didn't look to my left when I said that. By the way, just as an aside, you'll love this. I called Bob 3 days before his wedding, and I was preaching up there, and I go, "Hey, Bob, you should come out." This Sunday morning I preached at Wilkesboro. You should come here because I'm preaching on husbands submit to your wives. And he was real quiet. I go, "You should come up. You need." He goes, "Yeah, I don't feel the wind on that." He said, I got her submitted. I've given her the freedom to tell me anything she wants, and I'll do it. Anyway. Oh, now I'm missing. Anyway. All right, let's close that door. Move to the next one. Let me prophesy that. Look, make reluctance. Don't be reluctant. That can be a slap in God's face. Reluctance, when God gives you the world, if you handed someone $1 million, they go, oh, you know, I'm just not worthy. That's the spirit of stupid operating in your spirit. And when someone offers you a global revival, you don't be reluctant. You don't go, well, you know, pick him, you know. You know, I just can't, you know. If you do, you're like Moses, you'll pay for it. Okay, you don't want it, I'll give it to your brother. He's going to mess up real bad, and you're going to pay for his mess up. Anyway, don't go there. 4. Oh, prophesy. Father, we prophesy. We speak into the now. We thank you for preparations. We speak against the spirit of reluctance and the spirit of sleep. Lack of preparation. Not building the ark. Not building it according to the pattern. Because the scripture says he built it according to the pattern. So did Moses. There's a pattern in the spirit. 3 levels. The window in top, the door in the side represents Christ. Out of his side 2,000 years ago, this great ark birthed the church and the animals in the earth come and go. And this window in top, Lord, we thank you that the ark doesn't have windows on the side. It has only one window in the top so we can only see heavenward. That's in Christ. And we ask that you would bring us into preparation, into Christ, into this great ark, into this 30, 60, 100-fold, this great ark, first, second, and third heaven thing that you're doing. It was made out of cypress wood, which is incorruptible. Lord, it was held together incredibly. It was just designed perfectly for the generation. We thank you there is an ark designed for this generation perfectly. And that we're busy preparing for a place to facilitate the next move of God. Do not ever allow us to underbuild. God, if anything, let us overbuild. Let us overbuild. I prophesy preparations for this house. I prophesy for your church and your ministry. Whatever building you're in is not big enough. Whatever vision you have, you better triple it. Whatever financial budget you have, you better double it. Whatever you're doing, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. Because God is about to do things exceedingly above anything that you have ever thought or you have ever asked for. He's about to do the double whammy on all of us. So stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Build your ark. Stretch your church. Buy more square footage. Whatever it takes. It's not big enough. It's not big enough. This place is not big enough. This whole vision that you have is not big enough. Number four. It's about finished. Make room for every creature. Genesis 6:19. I want to start by saying this. In Genesis 7:1, God said to Noah, "Now that you have obeyed me, you're not reluctant, you believe me, I'm doing something unprecedented. Come into the ark, you and your house." Now here's where it's going to get exciting tonight, because we're going to do something a little bit here. The salvation of your family and probably your extended family, including your son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and children and grandchildren, rest upon your obedience to build the ark. Their salvation doesn't rest on your ability to beat them over the head with the Bible and try to get them to go to church and try to get them or to try to change them. They're watching you to see if you're going to obey. And when you obey, when God invites you into the ark, that means the whole group of the whole mess of your family tree is coming into the ark. Because of one man's righteousness, the whole of us are saved. And that same dynamic is happening in this Noahic blessing that God's pouring out. There is a generational blessing that's about to happen because God is making room in the ark for not only you, but for everybody in your family. And we're going to get back to that in a minute. Now look at this. He also says, bring your whole household into the family. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about the mother-in-law and everything. Selah. He says, now when you do that, I want you to gather every animal, male and female. Wait a minute. Oh, here's where it starts getting funny. The male and female part, that's not. That's fine. We get that. We finally gone through that and go, okay, it's not no longer a male-dominated church. Female. Oh, they're anointed? Oh, my God. Oh, they can pray. Oh, my God. They can? Oh, my. We're kind of past that. Go, all right, church, male, female. But you know what we're not ready for? Skunks, porcupines, snails, owls, bugs, insects, tattoos, rings, funny hair, weird culture, different people. We're not ready for that. Well, they don't dress like us. Look at them. They look really out of place in here. Who invited them? Do you know Doug Asson, who spoke the other night, had to leave the first church he was in because he was so rejected? He was a New Ager in the New Age movement. He came into the church. He was one of the animals that the flood brought in. And they so misunderstood his dream. He was seeing colors. They go, oh, that's New Age. You can't see colors in our church. We're a black and white church. How dare you see colors? That's got to be demonic. He goes, no, I see a rainbow. I go, oh, I knew it. He's one of those New Age California people. He was actually asked to leave because he was seeing spiritual things. Look, I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say this way. There are people coming into the ark that you didn't invite. It's none of your business, none of my business. You wouldn't have invited them. You wouldn't be on the welcome wagon committee to go get them to come. And when they get there, Mr. Porcupine and Sister Skunk is really going to irritate you. Because they're going to do weird stuff. You're going to get stuck. How many went through the whole Jesus movement thing? Huh? You go, what's these hippies doing in church? They still smell like marijuana. I mean, every Jesus movement I went to smelled at first like nicotine. I go, man, the whole place smells like nicotine. Look at the way they dress. Look at that. What's that kind of deal on? Hip huggers and bell bottom platform shoes, beads and their hairs. You know, we know God don't anoint long hair. Look at them. They're talking funny, too. They're not even saying the Holy Ghost. I had one guy in the Jesus movement call God the bad boogie in the sky. Hell, man, the bad boogie in the sky ghosted me. Ghosted me. The bad boogie in the sky ghosted me. Whoa, ghosted me. You got to get ready for some terminology change, you know? Or you know, or they come in, they stand there for 30 minutes and go, dude, oh, dude, you know? And we had this group of people in our church. They said dude more ways than I ever, you know. Like if the fear of God's, they go, dude. Fear of God's in the place. There was like miracles, go, dude. Or the joy comes like, dude. Or it's like the awe of God, they go, dude. There's animals that are not like you, they're coming. If you left it up to us, we'd have a whole herd of animals, all the same species. And we'd be having deformed babies. Oh. Well, look at us. We're a pelican church. How come that pelican's got one leg? Well, we're inbred a little, but I'm talking spiritually. You know what I'm saying? We want to associate with and dialogue with people like us. It takes a positive and a negative to make a battery work. I don't know if you know this or not, but it takes a male and a female to produce kids. It takes different things, opposite things, different to bring it to the radical middle for God to produce creatively. He made the universe like that. You got that, didn't you? Dude. Oh boy, I could park here, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm gonna make one more run at it. Just so, like the drive-by prophecy, just so some of you that didn't get it will get it. Look at me. The animals are coming, and they're invited by the Holy Spirit. Because when it begins to rain, they're going to smell something's up. And they're going to be standing at the door of your building. And they're going to be standing at the altar of your church saying, what must I do to be saved? And every evangelistic plan we have, and all that we've done evangelism, what we should do, is not going to, it's going to pale in comparison to Holy Spirit evangelism. Because the way God, see, what we do is we get people saved and promise them miracles and supernatural. What God does, it does a supernatural miracle, they just automatically get saved. That's what Philip did in Samaria. He went down, he said, when they saw and heard the extraordinary miracles, the whole city repented, the whole city fell under a spirit of joy. When they saw and heard the miracles that Philip did. See, we promise them that they're going to see and hear it, not demonstrate it. Because the signs follow the preaching of the word. Anyway, so let's prophesy that. This is dangerous, but I'm going to call some animals. Father, we prophesy to the east, the west, the north, and the south. Every culture, every tribe, every ethnic group, every theological background, every nuance of culture, personality. We prophesy that you would not let any man perish or anyone perish. And you're given an ultimate open invitation in the next few years globally. And you're inviting any and everybody that wants to walk through the door of that ark and declare that Jesus is Lord. So, Lord, we stand tonight and prophesy from the door of that great ark. And we say, come, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and the ark will give you rest. We prophesy, come. We prophesy, come, Holy Spirit. Come, animals. Come, people. Come, cultures. But to the house of God. Let it flow into the house of God. We prophesy that every animal, every person, everybody that we know, we prophesy the pulling of the Holy Spirit, the drawing of the Holy Spirit, every culture, every nation, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity for them to walk into the very middle of what you're doing. By the way, just as an aside from that, there is an outbreak that is happening and going to happen in the historical churches and denominations. Last year, I saw clearly that the Catholic Church is about to get hit with a tsunami in the Spirit that is going to be unprecedented. The Baptists are going to get saved again. No, I mean, they're saved, but they're going to begin to walk in a fullness they've not known before. The New Age movement is stirring. Animals are scurrying. You can hear them in the New Age movement, scurrying around, hungry for something from God. God's about to give an opportunity to unlikely people and cultures, people you would not normally hang out with, are going to be in your face in this next move of God. Last. Number five. How do we prepare and accommodate the coming flood? We must get ready for global impact. Now, I've alluded to this. Let me spell it out to you according to Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said, I will bring rain on the earth, and it will rain, and it will rain, and it will rain, and every creature in the dry land, and all flesh, and all creeping things will die. Wouldn't you love to see a revival where creeping things die? How many have creepies? That went over. I can see that. How many know someone in this building that has creepies on them? Creepy crawlers, things, you know, every creepy thing. All things died. And the scripture says it lifted the ark above the earth, and the waters covered the whole earth, covered the mountains. In the book of Revelation, mountains prophetically symbolize kingdoms. For the kingdoms of this world, the mountains of this world have become the kingdoms, the mountains of the Lord and His Christ. When this thing comes in a global way, not only is it going to cover the whole earth and all flesh is going to submit to it, it's going to cover every earthly kingdom. But the good news is that the ark, the more it rains, the more the ark is lifted up. What is the savor of death unto death to those outside of the ark is life unto life for those that are inside. You see, in the past, we've only had seasonal rains. There's nothing wrong with seasonal rains or little drizzles because they don't bother anything. But a protracted rain rescapes the land, restructures the landscape. It moves things around. It's destructive to the earth and to the peoples in the earth. Ask Ananias Sapphira what a protracted outpouring, what real revival is all about. So when this ark is lifted up, Genesis 7 says, it was lifted up above the earth and it rode on the waters of the earth and it rained for 150 days. 150 is 50 triple three times. It's a full and complete Pentecost that is coming. A little Bob Jonesism right for you there. Look at this. There were three releases of the dove. We're ready to step into the third release. The first release was the Old Testament when the dove came and left. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came from heaven, landed on the prophets, went back to heaven. There was not a staying dove. In Genesis, they sent the dove out and it came back. It came in and out of the ark. The dove in the Old Testament came in and out. The anointing came, it went, it subsided, it came, it said. Then in the Gospels, the dove came the second time, and it landed on Jesus. Genesis said, and the second time the dove came back, it had an olive branch in its mouth. We know that represents Jesus. But when Noah sent the dove out the third time, it didn't return. That was Acts. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my dove, my spirit. It's going into the earth not to return, onto all flesh. Matter of fact, it's not returning. I'm coming down there. I'm not going to ask for it to come back. I'm coming down. And when this ark settled on the earth, Genesis 8, I believe, God said two things happened. He put a rainbow over the sky saying, this is a promise. Rainbow has seven primary colors. Revelation says that's the seven spirits of God. And how can I say this? But this thing that we're about to walk into is going to reveal the seven colors of God. The seven spirits. It's going to reveal the fullness of God in His revelation. Because that rainbow is around the throne of God. It's throne room authority that is coming during this next revival. That's here, rather. And then in 8, God said to Noah, I want you to walk out of the ark, and I want you to possess the land. And I want you, and the fear of you will be on every creature. Not only is this revival global, but we're going to take back the earth. And we're going to take complete and total dominion over the things that have slipped through the cracks of the church and the kingdom of God. Because the kingdoms of this world are fast becoming the kingdoms of the Lord and His Christ. I challenge you to outrun me to the door of that ark. I challenge you to outswim me. I challenge you to outfaith me. Because I am living for such a time as this. I am hungry for the ultimate release of the dove, for the full revelation of the throne, and for the word to take dominion and occupy till I come. That's what Noah did. That's what we're about to walk into. A full Holy Spirit, high impact, global release of the anointing. A super anointing that is coming from the floodgates of heaven. And the good news is that you don't have to wait on it anymore. The good news, if you'll lift your head up, you can feel that big drop right on your forehead. One more thing about that. Genesis says, God says to Noah, the word says, for there were prevailing waters. Let me read it to you, then I'll finish. Genesis. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. It says a complete Pentecost of prevailing water. But, verse 18. For the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark was lifted up on the surface of the waters. I don't think we have seen historically prevailing and increasing waters that cover a generation. Well, I guess we have, but I haven't seen it. I've read about it. I know about it. But mine eyes are about to behold the glory. Your eyes are about to behold things unseen and unheard of. The glory. Prevailing, increasing, long stay, generational outpouring. An Acts deluge. I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Sons and daughters, handmaidens, servants. Equal opportunity revival is on its way. So I want to prophesy that and do a few things. Because, boy, I feel it. I don't know about you, but if you're finished before I am, you can go. But I'm just not quite finished. So here's the deal. I want to prophesy. I want to prophesy. I'm not going to prophesy to make it happen. It's already happened. I want to prophesy that God would open our eyes to see what's happening. That you would walk into a global vision for revival. Father, how can we say it? We add to the witness of heaven. And we call things that are as though they are. They're no more not as though they are. They're actually happened. You've already set the precedent. You've already given the proclamation. You've already given the mandate. You said, I'm coming down there. You said that in Exodus when you talked to Moses. And said, and God came down to see. With Sodom and Gomorrah, you're coming down. And Lord, we say, get down. Come on, we're ready. Lord, we're ready for heaven to kiss earth. We're ready for you to come down. We're ready for the Holy Spirit to fall down. We're ready for things to come down. We're ready to dance in the rain. We want to dance. We want to dance. We want it to rain. We want it to rain. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready. We're hungry. We're hungry. We're hungry. God, we ask that you would expand our vision, stretch us out of our religious box into a global vision, into something global that you're doing. Take us out of this whole limited mentality we have about our church, our ministry, just us. Send a little drizzle, Lord. And God, impact us with such a full faucet water hose blast of the Holy Spirit that we'll never be the same again. And Lord, I prophesy to those in this room tonight to break out of their whole limited mentality and begin to embrace a global vision that God is going to impact the nations, that God is impacting the nation. Revival is stirring. I can hear in my soul the winds of revival off the coast of Christianity. I can hear the storm brewing. I can hear the back end of that great spiritual hurricane coming. It's coming with great velocity. And Lord, I see here the Lord saying tonight, prepare, 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 get ready, prepare. prepare, prepare. Open your heart, because it's going to come. It's, you're either going to break down or break through during this thing. It's either going to cover you or you're going to be lifted up. You're either going to die in the earth gasping because you've not break the transition and the preparation, or you're going to be in that ark with the rest of us animals riding around going, yippee-yay-yay. Lord, I declare that in Jesus' name. We declare the ride. Are you ready for the ride? Are you ready for the ride? I'm ready. It's a roller coaster ride because the waves are coming. This crest, this great revival that's here. Oh, my God. And when you're in this ark, the only thing you can see is upward. You can't see out the side, the devastation. You can only see the rain coming from the hole in the top of the ark. Your vision is upward. Lord, I prophesy upward vision in this place tonight. I prophesy against the spirit of reluctance. I prophesy against the spirit of unbelief. We cut off the spirit of no, it's not going to happen. The spirit of comfortability. We're a addicted to convenience, and I break that addiction in this place tonight. We're addicted to our convenience. We're addicted to reluctance. We're addicted to doing nothing. Lord, I break that, and we declare a risk-taking anointing, a step of faith that would walk out into the realm of the supernatural and begin to declare, pull heaven down to earth and begin to say, as it is in heaven, so shall it be. Lord, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You're pouring out your spirit. Let it come. Here it comes. Pouring. I heard last night a wind coming from this side of the building over here. A wind, a howling wind on this side of the building, and the sound of abundance coming from this side all the way across this platform, all the way to this side. Father, let it come in Jesus' name. Let it come. Let your winds begin to stir. Let your winds begin to stir. Let your anointing begin to rise up in our spirits in Jesus' name. I know this is taking long, but I feel very convincingly that I was to pointedly stir you up and declare what is here, not to declare it and to activate it and speak into your destiny. Lord, we speak in that destiny. And here's what I'm supposed to do too. Keep going in that. I'm supposed to call your household into the ark tonight. I'm supposed to call your wayward sons and your wayward daughters and your daughter-in-laws. I'm supposed to call them. And I got words of knowledge. I don't know if I should go there. It might set us off here a little. But I'm supposed to call them in, and you're supposed to stand or sit, whatever you want to do. And you're supposed to, as being righteous, by one man's righteousness, according to Paul, by Jesus' righteousness, the whole tribe was saved. By one man's disobedience, Adam, the whole world was lost. By a father or a mother's obedience to walk into the supernatural, your whole family has the potential to embrace the supernatural. And I declare that over the families here in Jesus' name. We prophesy to the families that are represented. We prophesy a generational anointing. We prophesy a generational anointing to the sons and the daughters and the cousins and the daughter-in-laws and the mother-in-laws and father-in-laws and stepfathers and stepbrothers and stepmothers. Lord, we prophesy to our family tree, and I speak to the family tree, and I say fruit on the family tree. I declare the family tree shall be saved. I declare your family tree shall be a tree of righteousness. Your family tree shall be a tree of righteousness. We declare great and mighty things you're doing in our tree, in our life, in our family, in our heritage. We declare a recovery of our heritage, a recovery of our bloodline, a recovery of the things the enemy has stolen from our families in Jesus' name. We pull it down. 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 We stand righteously for all of our family. All of our family. Not one of them to be lost. Not one of them that will not experience the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Not one of them. Not one of them. It will get by. Our family shall ride in the ark, shall partake of this next outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we declare it because you're the God of generations. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God of generations, of fathers and sons and grandsons and granddaughters. You're the God of generations. As it is by the head of the house, so it is in the house. If the first fruits are holy, the whole bit is holy. And we believe that tonight. As first fruits for our family, we stand up for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Woo! Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, shake off, boy. I just got to tackle something real quick. Let's shake off. We're gonna break the spirit of unbelief over your. They're never gonna get there. My husband's never. My family. I'm never going. My ministry never. We're gonna break the spirit of unbelief. Unbelief cannot stand. Cannot stand in the face of an oncoming storm. Unbelief has got to go. It's got to break. Unbelief. You got to. No, look at me. You got to remember Forrest Gump. I'm telling you, run, Forrest. That's why I'm telling you, run, Forrest. I'm telling you, I don't care. Get rid of those crutches. You know, you gotta run into the storm. You gotta run. I know you've been walking against the wind. Some of you have been living against the wind and living on unmeasurable odds, but it's time to shake off the restraints and begin to face the wind and begin to walk into the wind and say, I'm not afraid. Like Peter, say, I'm stepping out of this boat. I may sink by swim, but I'm stepping out of this boat because I want the supernatural. I want the presence of God. Lord, I break the spirit of reluctance. I break the spirit of unbelief in this place. We break the spirit of unbelief and we say, no, 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 no. We will not hesitate. We will not hesitate. The sin of hesitation is rampant in the church and we deny it. We put it aside. We will not hesitate. We will run after you because you said, run after me, draw me. We will run after you. You said, we will walk and not be weary. We will run and not faint. And we run. Run for us. Run for us. Run, 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 run. Oh, yeah. Oh, no watch. Oh, yeah. It's here, 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 it's in this place. It's in this place, it's here, Lord. It's here, it's here. I hear it. I heard it again, right out in this parking lot. The rain, it's just pounding this parking lot. It's here, it's here, it's here. Revival, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. It's not coming, it's here. It's here. It's not just coming, it's here. It's right here. My God, I'm sounding Pentecostal. Help me, Jesus. But it's here. It's all right. I love that. It's my roots. It's here. Thank you. I'm just excited. Something's happening. I'm bored. Something's happening. I'm excited. It's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's here. We create an atmosphere. We create an atmosphere conducive for the Holy Spirit. An atmosphere conducive for the Holy Spirit. We release it. We release ourselves. We release ourselves. We release ourselves. We release ourselves. Release, release, release. Touch us, touch us. Thank you, Lord.